بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Man, what a trip. What a trip. If for those of you guys don't know, you guys should know, we just came back from Cairo. Alhamdulillah, we spent a week there on the ground. We were delivering food packs, visiting families affected by, you know, conflicts and wars and that. They left their homes. We heard some of their stories. It was life-changing.
It was crazy. I mean, they brought us out there and we never knew what to expect because we've seen a lot of these influencers who go on these trips and yeah, they show you what like what they're doing. But we never understood like how impactful it could be, not only on your life, but on the lives of others, because you got to showcase exactly what you went through and like help your audience understand better the magnitude of what's going on in other places around the world, because a lot of us live, you know, well-off lives, lives that we don't see as many problems or whatever's going on in the media doesn't affect us as much beyond what we see and what we may feel. But then when we get to feel it directly, it's like a whole different, like, monster.
The first thing that I want to go ahead and address is the fact that everything that we're going to say here on this podcast today will never do what we just went and did justice. You can never truly see and feel what we felt unless you go ahead and go out there yourselves and go ahead and really see things with your own two eyes, because being there in person and watching it over camera and watching it over social media is just will never be the same. You know, even for ourselves, we sit here, we scroll on social media, we see people's stories, we see what's happening around the world. You know, we become desensitized to it. You know, we go ahead, we see 100 videos on it, and then it's like, oh, like, may Allah help them. And then we just scroll past the next video and then we're not thinking about it no more. But actually being there, seeing it in person, seeing that this stuff is actually real, that this stuff is not a movie, that it's not a video game, that, you know, these people are actually suffering, that these people deserve just as much as what you deserve, but yet they can't, they don't have it, right? And actually seeing that with your own two eyes and listening to their stories in person will impact your life in a way that you never would have thought it would have.
And it just... it really like places emphasis like you got to be grateful for the opportunities that you have and thankful for the position that you're in, because I don't care what you've been through or what you are going through, there's someone who's been through worse. And there's someone who's had a really bad day, a worse day than yours. There's someone who had bad months, bad years, bad lives. Like they're in their lives, they've never experienced goodness.
There's plenty of people in this world who would kill or would do anything to switch lives with you, to get whatever that it is that you have. And here you are complaining about, you know, little problems. And may Allah forgive us for any time that we've been ungrateful or any time that, you know, we overreacted to a little, you know, a small situation.
And it's like, I remember when we were on the trip and we visited a family and a man was telling his story on how three of his children and his wife were all martyred under the rubble. And he saved his last child who was buried under rubble. Like a little boy, broken leg, he had a cracked skull, things like that, right? And when we asked about like, oh, how do you deal with this? One of the things he says, Alhamdulillah. That was one of the first things he said. Then the second he said, this is the way of life. Like, what am I supposed to do? And all I could think to myself was that this is like, that's the way he knows life. Like when he said this is the way of life, I don't know life to be like that. Like I've never picked up like my dead people out of the rubble. Like that was his life. Like that's like, some people, they only know suffering and they have to live with that for the rest of their life knowing that this happened to them. And it brought tears to my eyes that he said that this is the way of life, and I couldn't relate to that. I couldn't understand it. There's no way I can tell him, I feel you. Like, I don't feel it.
I want you to go ahead and imagine looking somebody in their eyes and telling them your whole family just got killed right in front of you, right? And when someone asks you about it, the only thing that you say is Alhamdulillah and you smile at them. When he did that, I had no words. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, what is there that I can say to that?
Bro,
what is there that I can do to that?
It was actually crazy because you said a lot on the podcast, but we never went through it. You're always like, bro, there's people out there who are just saying Alhamdulillah for everything. They'll smile at you. They'll tell you, like, everything's all good, even though everything's not all good. You know, they lost everything. Mm-hmm. But then when he did it in real life, I was like, I literally looked at you. I was like, bro, what? There's no way. Like, this guy, that's all he can say is Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. Like, And I told you guys, heard me say, I was like, bro, I don't know if I'd say like Alhamdulillah in this type of situation, because I haven't been through that. Like you said, we can't relate to this. Mm-hmm. And you see all these videos on the internet. Everybody's talking about, please don't scroll. You know, like they try to tell you their story. They try to say, hey, can you donate in the link in bio? And you see it a million times. You see the same video and you just keep scrolling. Now you're saying like, may Allah help them, may Allah help them. You might comment to help the algorithm so it can push their video to more people. Or you might donate here and there. But when you hear it in real life, you're just sitting there, you're empathizing with the person. And you're like, bro, I can feel, you know, the pain that you've been through, but I can't relate, like you said.
It's like, bro, it's stories like that and situations like that we just like went and saw is like, it reinforces my belief in a judgment day, because there are people who have genuinely been done wrong on all levels and on all accounts. And you think that people, the wrongdoers, are not going to be held account for that. And you think that they're not going to be recompensed. They're not going to be like repaid for what they endured. And for those people who don't, like, you really have a misunderstanding of what God is, or who, like, you have a misunderstanding of Allah. You have a misunderstanding of all of that, because Allah is most gracious and most merciful and just. Allah would never wrong his servants, and he does not wrong even like a little bit. So these people are going through all this in this life, but in the next life, inshallah, they will be in bliss.
Yeah. That's one of the largest proofs that you can give for not only a judgment day, but for Allah, for Islam being the truth. And it's just like, because we're the only ones who believe something to be this true, where you can see people are suffering all around the world. And there are some who ask, why did God allow this? But people don't think, why did the people do this to
them? Why did you allow it?
Yeah, exactly. Why did you allow it? Why did the people go ahead and inflict this pain on other people?
They act
and
as
it really
if-
tells you, like, yes, there is, someone has to pay for these crimes. You can't just go in your grave and that's it. There's no other answer. What, yeah. Like, what do you mean? There would be no sense for anyone to live their life saying, oh, let's be a good person and leave this world.
Exactly. They act as if this life is a test to see how merciful God is. No, this life is a test for us to see which of us will do good actions and which of us will help those who have been done wrong. Like, it's one of our leaders over there, he said, like, it was so beautiful. It's truly a battle between good and evil. And it's so simple. And I can see it in plain sight right now. It's which of us are going to do good and which of us are going to do evil. You either do good for yourself and do good for others, or do evil for yourself and evil for others, unknowingly or knowingly. It doesn't matter.
The scariest part is that there is still a majority part of the world who still thinks what these people are going through is completely okay, or what that these people are going through is completely deserved onto them, right? Because we have plenty of people, of course, that we see on the internet, matter of fact, that we've seen even in person, who encourage this type of behavior, who want to see these people suffer, who want to see these people expelled out of their homes, drive these people out of their homes. And it's just crazy to think about. Like, how could you, as a human being, want that for another human being?
Wallahi, it's cowardice. And those same people, they're all over online. They will never look those people in the eyes and say the same thing. You couldn't.
But the thing is, like, what these people also don't understand is the fact that this could have easily just been them. Mm-hmm. It could have been them. They could have been in that place, and we could have been the ones laughing at them. We could have been the ones, you know, hoping and praying on their downfall, but we're not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's like, how many people did we see and we heard their stories before everything that had occurred? Teachers, car salesmen. They were working regular jobs. They were normal people. They had wives. They had children. They would go
pharmacists,
home.
Pharmacists, nurses.
Yeah, they'd go home. These people were productive in society. And now, like, they've lost all of that. They know nothing of their previous life.
You know, it's crazy. Some of them were even our family members. And when we saw them, they were asking them, like, how was your life in Sudan? And they were saying, like, murtah, which means, you know, they were okay. They were chilling. They felt rested, right? And me knowing how they lived in Sudan, like, yeah, they had a home and stuff like that. But compared to how I'm living here versus how they were living in Sudan, how they're living now, I was like, damn, bro, to say you're rested for living such a simple life. They didn't have internet. They had minimal water, minimal food. They lived in a small village, you know, just a little market and a mosque. So for them to say, you know, that was a good life for them, that's all they needed. They don't need too much.
And for them,
it's worse now. That's the crazy thing. I was like, damn, bro, it really, like, it's all worse. And they're in a different land now, right? So they're away from the war and they're still saying it's worse because they have no one who's taking care of them.
They have no life. Like, that was their life. You can't take that away from them.
And you heard what they said at the end, like, what is it that you want? They just said they just want their home back. They just want a simple life. Like, we don't want to go out in extreme, right? And yet some of us here, like, we live, you know, a life where, you know, it's clean. We're able to go to school. We're able to go to work. And these are things that we complain about. I'd come on. Oh, I have to go to work today. Oh, I have to go to school today. I don't want to go. But yet these people, they'll do anything just to be able to say, you know, those types of words, just to be able to say, I get to go to school today, or at least I have a job today.
It's like, these, you're complaining about having life. These people want that life. They want life.
Matter of fact, I remember Andrew Tate even once said, he was like, people complain, oh, I have to go to work today. And like, no, change your vocab. I can go to work today. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big perspective, because what if you didn't have
it? And that's eye-opening, because on this trip, these people, they're looking for work. They're looking to do anything. They said they'll volunteer for free just to help what we're doing here.
But matter of fact, like, not even talking about the refugees that left, even talk about, like, some of the people living in the land. How many people did we see out there begging in the streets, or how many people were out there doing whatever hustle that they could do just to be able to make a means of living.
Bro, selling cotton candy on a stick, selling water bottles, selling whatever they could to make ends meet. And to us, we were just sitting here like, no, we don't need none of this, this and that. And then later we're thinking, bro, we don't know how bad they need it. Because for one, a dollar for us is a lot to them.
Exactly. And I was just about to bring up that point. Like, you look at, you know, Mia Guinea, 100 pounds, Egyptian. You give that to them and they, you know, they're looking at you like, wow, like this is crazy. But I'm sitting here thinking like, bro, this is $2.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? How is this life changing for you? And it just, you know, it really puts things into perspective. And also to think about, these are kids. Like, I'm talking about 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. They're already, you know, being told to get out of the house. They need to go ahead and make some money to go ahead and take care of their family.
And I want you to think, like, it's not like they're not going to school. They're not, you know, playing with their friends in the yard. They're working. We was 9, 8, 10. We didn't have a worry. We didn't have a responsibility in the world. And it's like, we have ample opportunity here. We have all the educational institutions. We have all the opportunity. We have all the jobs. We have all the connections, all the network. And it's like, you can, at this point, after seeing what we saw, we cannot waste this.
Matter of fact, like another thing, like touching upon like those people that we're just talking about, like I'm talking about the kids out there in the street. What was also heartbreaking to see is, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 year old kids, you know, trying to make ends meet. But at the same time, like they're out here just smoking cigarettes. And it's just like, it's crazy. I remember I sat down with one of the kids. I said, like, what happened? Like, how did this happen to you? Who did this to you? And he said, like, this is all I've ever seen. It's just the product of my environment. Everyone around me, you know, does this. And I was just sitting there. I'm just thinking to myself, like, I can't necessarily blame him for like what he's doing, because that's all he's ever seen. That's all he was ever, you know, taught. You know, and wallah, it's a shame on us, like, who are older and supposed to lead by example, that, you know, these are the examples we're leaving here for these kids.
Leaving them no way out. Like, you just, and you see it in other places around the world too. You're just like, bro, how did this happen? And then you just see like the environment that they've been put in, and nobody's looking to change. Nobody's looking to be better. And, you know, that's a fault of the people around them. I'm not going to just say it's just their families, because their families may have grown up like that too. And then they're going to pass that down to their children. So nobody's even taught them how to make change, how to, you know, be better for themselves. Rather, they're just going to keep doing what they're doing because they're seeing that it's working just fine for them, though they know that that's not the way that they want to live.
It's like we underestimate the power of our own influence. We start doing good, the people around us start doing good. We start doing bad, the people around us are going to start doing bad. It's just like, we underestimate how much we influence the people around us. And after seeing like those kids, like they're going to grow up. Some of them could have cancer. Like this isn't just some little thing. This is life altering.
Now, matter of fact, what did we hear? They all have cancer. Like a lot of these people, they probably do. They just don't know. They can't get access to healthcare. They don't got the money for it. Like what are they supposed to do? And matter of fact, like I said, like that's all they've ever seen. So it's not even like what they're doing. Like they see it as something that's wrong.
And it really makes you understand how like the judgment of Allah is like, it's swift. You know, the justice is going to reign supreme, because if there is people who can enact change, especially in like in that land or in any land, and they don't, or they neglect them, they'll be asked too. You had the resources to put change forth. Why didn't you?
That actually reminds me of the story when Allah sent an angel to go ahead and destroy a town. And the angel came back to Allah saying, like, there's an abid, like there's a servant of yours that's worshiping you in there. And Allah said, start the destruction with him. And the angel asked why. And he said, because he saw the condition of the people and he didn't do anything about it. And that just shows, that just, you know. And
like, it gives perspective.
Yeah, it gives you perspective that if you have the opportunity to go ahead and inflict change upon yourself and the people around you, and you don't do it, like, you're worse.
It's like, it's an encouragement to be, like, to act, like, to be an activist, to if you see something wrong, change it. If it's not with your hands, change it with your tongue. If you're not with your tongue, then change it with your, like, hate it in your heart. Do whatever.
I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine, since we just brought up cancer, take cancer for example. You have the cure to cancer and you're in a room with people with 10 people that have cancer. You have the opportunity to cure all of them, but you just don't. You just keep it for yourself. Like, what does that say about such a person? Now imagine you have iman, you have faith, you have knowledge on the deen, right? Something that's going to affect you for the rest of your life and your afterlife. And you're costing people their afterlife and yours. How sick of a person can you be?
Oh shoot!
That's a great one.
Costing people their afterlife and yours. Oh my god! Because like I was just about to say, people who lived this life, you know, like the man who he was in the town and he can enact change. You have to start asking yourself or thinking about it. Like when you actually reflect on yourself, when you question yourself, oh, I was given this iman and I see all this wrong around me. Like, should I say something about it? Like, I know they're doing wrong and I know what they're doing wrong and I have evidence to back up why it's wrong. So should I say something or should I not? Because it's one thing to have strong iman and be able to be around wrongdoers and not fall into the wrongdoing that they're doing. But that's strength from Allah. That's not from you. Mm-hmm. Because now you get a little, you're going to become a little arrogant, thinking like, hey, I'm praying here. These guys don't pray. It's cool though. I'm not going to say anything to them. I don't care about what they're doing. Like, they do them.
As if their prayer doesn't affect you as well. Mm-hmm. Like you need, like what? Like it does not harm you at all to try and give someone benefit. Like it's like we're ultimate gatekeepers. And it's a disease within us because, you know, like what is a disease? A disease is a defect. And there's right now, there's a whole lot of defects in the people's hearts. Mm-hmm. Whenever, like to know, to have a good heart is to see something bad and to want to change it.
Yeah, so a lot of people, I bring this up a lot and I don't care. I'll go ahead and bring it up until it's one of the last things that I say. But the fact that you can't be scared to practice your religion around, you know, your friends, your non-Muslim friends and your Muslim friends, because you never know what you can do, right? Like, especially like one thing like I'd be reflecting about is like, if I was really scared to practice my religion in front of my friends, like a lot of them, like they probably wouldn't be Muslim right now. You know what I mean? And it's just the fact that, why did I want to do that? Because I care about these people. I want to see them in Jannah too. I don't want to see them end up in the hellfire, right? If I really, really, truly love and care for these people, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, try to put them on the deen. Because if I don't do that, then I truly don't love and care for them, because, you know, it obviously wasn't enough. If I don't, you know, genuinely care about someone enough to tell them or put them in a position where they wouldn't end up in the hellfire one day, then, you know, that's not true love right there. That's not true. That's not you truly caring about them.
Mm-hmm. And even like what's like Islam, you can see like it stems from the belief that Islam wants the best for a person. Not even just in the afterlife, but like in this life, like Islam wants the best for a person in terms of character, morality, honor, virtue, all these things are encouraged in Islam. So it's like, why wouldn't you want to share this with other people? You want people to be honest. Islam encourages honesty to the fullest. You want people to be like virtuous and honorable. Islam encourages this. Like Allah says, whoever wishes to be honored or wants honor, then to Allah belongs all honor. So where are you going to find it? You're going to find it with Allah. You're going to find it in worshiping Allah. No person humbles himself before Allah, worshiping him, like such that anything, except that Allah raises his honor and his status and his rank.
And that literally speaks to the whole trip, because, you know, I felt the honor of every single person that we came across, whether they were like, you know, a refugee or, you know, just a local, seeing how they're living a life that I don't know if I could live. You know, it made me grateful that Allah chose this type of life for me. Because not only did he bring me back to him, but he's allowed me to have so much provision in this life. And although I know those people are more deserving than me in the hereafter, because if you don't have too much here and you still choose Allah, then your reward in the hereafter is infathomable, bro. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing that you really can't have. And I would tell people that, yeah, you deserve more than me. Because if you can endure all this pain and suffering and still turn back to Allah, you definitely deserve it. Because now I don't know if I could. If Allah doesn't put me through the same type of thing that you've gone through, I don't know if I can endure that. And if I die without enduring it, then I know I couldn't. Because Allah can send everything your way and you're going to be able to bear it. But if he doesn't send it your way, then there's no way for you to know.
Yeah, we'll be sitting there in the afterlife wishing that we went in more struggle and more suffering for the sake of Allah so that we could be raised in rain.
You know, it makes me think about, you know, like the this trip really put in perspective, like the idea of charity. One, you could give so much charity, but you got to think about it. With the provision that is written for you will always reach you. It will always reach you. So no matter how much you give in charity, your wealth is just a blessing from Allah and a test. It really is just a test, because no matter how much you give from your wealth, the provision that was meant for you will reach you. So it's just seeing, are you going to help these people? Are you going to return the favor of Allah that Allah gave upon you to other people? Because look, here's the thing. We ask for wealth. We ask Allah for wealth. Oh, alhamdulillah, I got wealth. Allah gave us wealth. And then another person, a human being, he's less off than you. He needs help. He's in dire need. He asks you for wealth and you deny the favor of Allah that Allah had upon you. You deny him wealth. Allah gave you wealth, but you denied him. It doesn't make sense, right? It's hypocritical.
Actually, you think about what if like that person, you know, they're making dua, you know, for the help. Mm-hmm. Allah sends him the help of that person, the person that was given wealth and denying him. Like that's actually crazy. Because it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the person in need dua was, you know, rejected or not accepted or something. Mm-hmm. But it's the result of the person who denies the help. And giving in charity is very good. Trust me. Giving sadaqah is always good. But really, I want people to start understanding what you're giving to. Because you may read it on, you know, whatever website that you're donating to or whatever charity you're donating to. But really, if you could feel what that donation is doing, it'd make you happier to make more, to give more sadaqah. Because every time I used to give sadaqah before this trip, I'd be sitting there like, alhamdulillah, you know, I was able to give. I'm just glad to help. You know, that's it. I'm just glad to help. Now, seeing some of the sadaqahs that I've given and me being able to do the work to help where that those sadaqahs are going, I was like, dang, bro, this is crazy. Like, I just want to keep donating because I just see, oh my God, $60 to feed a whole family, like, for a month. No, I need to do more. What the heck? I want to feed another family. Or I want to pay a family's rent. Like what? Or I want to go see if I can donate in this area so that I can help people who are being affected by this. Like,
exactly. Like, what seems like so little to us could be life-changing to somebody else. And like, wallah, I just came back here and like I'm on the plane. I'm actually looking up above, like, where we're coming, like, where we're about to land. And I'm looking at Florida, and like, a lot of people, like, they're well off. They have nice houses. They have boats. They have nice cars, you know. And I'm just looking, like, I'm looking up above at the plane, and I'm out the plane window, and I just see, like, this neighborhood of people. And of course, like, their backyard is literally the ocean. They have, you know, their boats lined up. I'm like sitting there like, wow, like, just think about how much they probably paid for all that, and like, what a quarter of that or a, like 2% of that could have done for so many families, you know, out there in the world who really need it. Is crazy to think about. Like, even like from the money that we make, like, personally, you just look at and be like, bro, like, such a small amount could change thousands of lives.
Wallah, if you saw the smiles on their face, just not even from us, like giving them like food and stuff like that, but like just us being there, it was insane. They, like, one of the things that they said was like, you guys have no idea what it feels like to have someone actually like they care about you. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels good to know that someone cares about you. I'm like, bro, subhanAllah, these people have
and
really
it made,
been
it made me think that we could have been like a dua being answered.
Exactly.
Like, them making dua to Allah saying like, we need some help. And us just showing up at their doorstep saying like, hey, we have some food for you, or we're going to cover your rent, we're going to put you in a new apartment, or we got some furniture for you and your family. And although that, you know, that stuff's not necessarily coming from us being there to be able to like comfort them in that situation, I was like, dang, bro, Allah really chose us, you know, for this mission right now.
Yeah, we ask Allah to use us and not replace us.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
oh yeah, use us and not replace us. Because like the verse in Surah Muhammad, when Allah says he invites you to donate just a little bit, and some of you will withhold. But whoever withholds is only withholding from himself, right? And Allahu al-ghani wa antum al-fuqara. Allah is the self-sufficient, and you are the ones who stand in need of him, right? And if you still decide to turn away, Allah will replace you with other people, and they will not be like you. That's, you know, that's crazy thing to think about. You are very easily replaceable. You were easy to create, and Allah will easily replace you.
Like, you should feel honored that God gave you all this, and you should, and that honor should lead you to do more good, to do more things. Because you could be, you're like, you think you're special, like Salahi, like, you're not. There's 8 billion of us. Like, there's gonna be another one of you. Like the only way you can separate yourself is through good acts and worshiping Allah, and you know, get up in that night prayer, you know, pray to Allah, exactly, and establish your relationship with Him. Imagine you yourself being unknown. Like, imagine you to yourself, like, being unknown in the heavens. Mm-hmm. Your name is not me. Like, you don't pray, you don't do nothing.
Yeah, like, think about this. As humans, we're all created, you know, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're all different in our own ways. You know, I'm saying there's someone out there who's different. There's someone out there, blah, 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 right? But as humans who are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says He can replace you and they will not be like you. Meaning, if you think that you're too good for this life or too good to worship Allah, He could easily replace you. He could send someone else to be Muslim and they'll do much better than you. And they may take your place in Jannah. And on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sit in the hellfire and do not speak to me.
Wow.
Like, you think about that. Allah doesn't care about you at that point. Khalas, you're not going to see Allah. You're not going to hear from Allah once you've been put into the hellfire. Once those people who have done wrong and they have not earned any mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what was it for?
Exactly. And like, even like, just to relate that in a worldly view, like, some people, like, they'll go through a heartbreak with somebody, or some people will fall out with some of their friends. And like, what's a common thing they'll say is like, oh yeah, you'll never find somebody like me. Like, yeah, bro, that's the point. Like, the point is not to find somebody like you, because if everyone was like you, we'd be living in, you know, a world that's going into a bad direction.
A bad belief.
But yeah, you know, going back, like, yeah, we're all human beings. We're all going to die, and we're all going to spend more time dead than we are, than we spent here on this earth. So we honestly, we need to go ahead and prepare for death, right? Because that's where we're going to spend most of our time. We're not going to spend most of our time here. You know, some of us are, we're not promised anything. We're not promised 5, 10, 15, 20, 35, 40, you know, 100 years on this earth, right? We don't know when our last day is going to be. So that means you really need to go ahead and make the best of whatever it is that you have every single day. Like, there is no, I'll turn back to Allah later, I'll donate later. Like, no, you have an opportunity right now. You better go ahead and take that, because you never know when that opportunity is going to slip by you. How many times did these people that where they lost everything or they died, they had plans for the next day? Things were just going to be completely normal. I was going to go to the grocery store. I was going to go to work. I was going to do yada, yada, yada. But guess what? Everything came to an end. They lost everything. They lost their family members. They lost their houses. You know, they lost their life. Now what?
Just like that, bro.
Just like that. Exactly.
They had plans for 5-10 years in the future. Now all those things have been uprooted.
Just look at anything that you lost in your life. Anything, whether it be your phone. You had your phone 5 minutes ago. Now all of a sudden you dropped it in the water. It's gone forever. You had a car. You got into a car accident. It's totaled. You just had it 5 minutes ago. Now it's gone. You were just alive 10 minutes ago. You were just having a nice conversation with somebody. They went up the street. They saw you had a heart attack and the ambulance took you to the hospital and now you're dead. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy to think about. Like, life can switch up, you know, this fast.
You know, as fast as life switches up, all of us think that we really matter. But in reality, bro, the world is still going to revolve.
You know,
the world is still going to spin. The night is still going to become the day. Like, people's lives are going to continue forward. And that's why you see some of these videos that have gone very viral on social media. And it'll be like people 30 minutes after your funeral, bro, they're just eating food. You know, they're smacking on food just because, bro, you're gone. Halas. You think the world stops because of you. You think the world revolves around you. But in reality, it doesn't. Allah's going to keep letting the world spin until the day of judgment. And if anybody who died was supposed to, you know, cause like an eruption in the earth, it would have been any of the prophets. But that didn't happen. Not for one single one of them. Not even for the most beloved to Allah.
Now imagine, bro, you know how people say like you never appreciate something until it's gone? Imagine like your time. And then when you die, we never appreciate time, like the time we had on earth. And then imagine like when we die and we're reaching death. Bro, we're going to regret it so hard. Like, you're going to regret it so bad. Like, I'm dreading the regret I'm going to feel when I die for not utilizing the time. Because imagine you, like, dude, like, a good pen, I'll regret it. Like, we're not using it as much if I lose it.
Bro, just imagine, bro. You're going to be sitting there, you know, when you're dead. Two more rak'ah, one more istighfar, one more subhanallah, one more alhamdulillah. Like, oh, I shouldn't have done this the day before. I shouldn't have done that. Like, but now, what are you going to do? You're just going to ask Allah to send you back.
Even now, when you think of your shortcomings, you're like, bro, why did I do that, man? Mm-hmm. Like, you thought about, you know, your alternatives, what you could have been doing, what you should have done better, or whatever it may be. And that's just right now while you're still young. But think about when you're reflecting on your entire life, or when your life is finished, and now you're just thinking like, man, if I could just do that one more good deed. Because I don't know the implications it would have on Allah's judgment upon me. But once that's over, you know, that's it. There's nothing you can do. And subhanAllah, this entire trip, and I hope, like, you know, the documentation we have of it, because we do have a video that should come out, inshallah, about our trip to Egypt. But if you guys could have been there, like, in our faces, hearing these stories and stuff, your entire life would change. Like, your lock-in mentality would have, you know, shifted completely. Because for me, like they're saying, like, we're young, man. I have so much time. Or I think I have so much time at least, but I'm in my prime years right now. So regardless of how much time I have left, if I'm not utilizing them as much as possible, you know, prioritizing my connection to Allah while I can still pray, while I still have good knees and I have a good brain and I can learn more, then who's to say that, you know, I'll never progress in life? Because this is the prime time for you to progress, for you to, you know, start your businesses or, you know, get through school, get your education, learn about the deen.
Bro, facts. You do not want to put this time off. This is prime time. I don't care what they say. From the time you hit puberty to the time, you know, like, you reach death, like, bro, this prime time. It's prime time. It's time to do good. It's time to start, you know, working on yourself, trying to become, if you work at it every single day to become the absolute best, bro, imagine when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine Allah is pleased with you because every single day you worked hard just to please him. You didn't take a day off. You always prayed. You didn't You didn't skip a salah. You didn't delay a salah. Every single day it was the same. You didn't, your tawheed, you didn't shift. You didn't go here. You didn't, like, you're firm. You're like a pillar. You're not like a fig.
Yeah. And imagine, you know, the regrets that we may have on the day of judgment, because everybody's going to have regrets. But imagine you're regretting and Allah tells you, enter Jannah by my mercy. Because now you know, it doesn't matter what regrets you have. You were good enough. Allah saw that he was satisfied with what you did, with all the acts of worship that you did. Because if you're good enough to enter Jannah, bro, it doesn't matter what you're regretting. If you're like, oh, one more istighfar. No, Allah said you did enough. Allah said you did enough prostration, bro.
And subhanAllah, it's like your belief in him was sufficient enough for you to enter paradise. But
subhanAllah, mm-hmm. Oh, damn, subhanAllah, like, what? Now I'm just thinking about that right now, bro. And it's like, you pray for every person who's going, like, who's suffering right now, because that's the only thing that's keeping them going is iman. They don't have a bank account. They don't have a car. They don't have a house. They don't got nothing. Like, we have family members right now in Egypt living in someone else's house. They don't have any rent. They're barely getting by with food. And you know why I know that they're struggling with the food is because Sudanese people are one of the most hospitable people. They'll always bring you juice. They couldn't even bring us water because they don't have. And they're still sitting here like, alhamdulillah, all they want is just their home back. SubhanAllah. They're not asking, oh, I want to be able to go here. I want to do this. I want to do this. They're not saying, oh, I want to take my kids to this. They're just saying, I just want my kids to be taken care of, find them into school, and get our home back. SubhanAllah. And that's one of the toughest things that I can leave with you, is I can paint a picture for you to understand, you know, the magnitude, the depth of what others are going through, because there's a whole different world out there. You know, some people are living very well off. Some of us are living good lives. We have parents. And, you know, even some of us right now, bro, we can't even find a relationship with our parents when, you know, for one, we shouldn't cut ties of kinship, but that should be the least of your problems. Because if you were to see someone who's in a worse position than you, you would never think you'd have a problem. Literally, that's how I thought. I was sitting here like, I think I got problems? What? No way, no. I don't got a single problem in the world. Like, alhamdulillah, bro. Alhamdulillah. Like, I see everybody else going through this. I'm like, yeah, nah, I'm good. You know, I have to be more grateful.
You know, the interesting thing about gratefulness, and we still want to be grateful, is the interesting thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he rewards for gratefulness. If you're grateful, he'll increase you more. Think about how much of us are not, like, we don't, like, obviously you should be grateful just because, like, alhamdulillah, you got something that's good. And then imagine Allah says he was going to reward you for it. Why are not more of us grateful? I don't know.
But here's the thing, though. Like, especially, like, after seeing that, me, like, I always thought myself, I'm like, man, like, I'm pretty grateful for the things that I do have. You know, I feel like I thank Allah. But then just seeing that, I don't care if I thank Allah a million times, I'm still not grateful enough. Mm-hmm. I'll never be grateful enough. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I sat here and I was in sajda the whole entire day worshiping Allah, it still wasn't enough. It'll never be enough. You know what I mean? Like, just thinking about that. Like, the things that we have right now as a person, like the things you have in your life, you're not deserving of. Understand that.
Not a single thing. Not a single one. You're not deserving of your life. Mm-hmm. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have to give you any of it. Because one day he's going to take it away. That's how he's going to show you you weren't deserving of it. You'll be deserving of it if you were to enter Jannah. But you don't know that. So you won't know until after you're dead, until you're judged, right? So your life, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your hands, every single thing. These are just the, you know, the blessings you're gifted with at birth. For some of us don't have it and we take it for granted, right? You're not deserving of any of it because at a single moment, Allah can take it away. Mm-hmm. And I need, like, that's what I leave you with. That, you know, we're not deserving of anything in this world. The only one deserving of anything is Allah, and he's deserving of your worship. And with that being said, you know, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Guys, I heavily advise you guys to go ahead and truly reflect upon, you know, the things that we've been able to show you just over social media, but also to go out there and, you know, see things for yourself, see the world for yourself, go out there and travel. Because I promise you, every time you travel, you never come back the same exact person you were before, right? You know, things, your eyes will start to open up, your mindset will start to shift, your perspective starts to change, and, you know, you'll become a lot more grateful, inshallah. With that being said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.